Welcome to Ancient Future Faith with Dr. Chris Alford, pastor of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community in Sacramento. Just what is ancient future Christian faith? Join Chris each week as he talks with special guests about a refreshing renewal in evangelical worship and spirituality that's helping many believers get in touch with their ancient Christian heritage. Now, with another look at how the road to the evangelical future runs through the ancient past, here's Dr. Chris Alford.
Well, hi, folks, and welcome once again to another edition of Ancient Future Faith. I'm the host of the program. My name is Chris Alford, and I'm also the pastor of Epiclesis, an Ancient Future Faith community right here in Sacramento. If you want to learn more about what in the world this thing called Ancient Future Faith is, or perhaps more about our church, Epiclesis, I would encourage you to go to the website. That's epiclesis.org, spelled E-P-I-C-L-E-S-I-S.org. Today, my guest is Carl Peters. He's a dear friend and has also appeared on this program. It's always a pleasure to talk with you, Carl. Tell me, where are we? Where are you calling from tonight? Where are you?
I am in Vero Beach. My two older sons are playing baseball here at Dodger Town, and so we are here for the week watching multiple baseball games and enjoying ourselves very much.
Carl, we've been taking these Saturday broadcasts to talk about what is a pretty big subject, and that is, what in the world is ancient future faith? One of the first couple of episodes, we talked a little bit about what in the world ancient future faith is, and also spent some time talking about what ancient future faith is not. And one of the things I particularly wanted to talk about today, and the specific reason that I had you on, is because you are a pastor of a Baptist church in the Southern Baptist tradition, and your Baptist bona fides go back generations, as best I can remember, and nobody is more Baptist through and through than you. And I thought it would be particularly interesting to talk to you and get your take about what in the world ancient future faith is. Carl, I've said before that ancient future faith is not a worship style. It's not a denomination. In fact, as we like to say at Epiclesis, it's pre-denominational. It's not a Roman Catholic thing. It's not a Methodist thing. It's not a Baptist thing. It's a Christian thing. And the tenets of ancient future faith go all the way back to the early church. You have some thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think that's very well said. Part of the issue in sharing what ancient future faith is that people tend to go online and believe everything that they read. And there's a real danger there because folks have published things online that are simply not true. Ancient future faith, as you have pointed out, is not Catholic. It's not Anglican. It is not denominational, but I think the phrase that you use is it is pre-denominational in its reality. And I think that's an important point to make. It is getting back to the point where we are what Jesus prayed about in John 17, that they may be one, Father, as we are one. This is before there were any splinters or any branching out of the tree, if you will, of the church. This is pre all of that. And it's getting back to that pristine beginning that the Lord handed off to the apostles and they handed off to those who came behind them. Before all of the disagreements, all the splintering, all of the fragmentation came into being. So what time could be better to go back and to study than that time when we were, I think, reflecting what Jesus intended when he prayed in John 17 and when Paul wrote, "Let there be no division among you." Now, this is precisely what Jesus and what Paul intended. And sadly, because we live in a fallen world and even Christian folks are fallen and are imperfect, we have not followed perfectly what he intended.
That's beautifully said. Long before there were denominations, there was just simply being Christian. And we would do well to listen to how the Holy Spirit moved in the lives of the men and women who came before us, particularly at a time when Christianity was being so persecuted and was situated in a world that looks an awful lot like the world we live in today in many ways. When I ask you, what in the world is ancient future faith, how would you respond to that? And let's break that down a little bit and talk about it in your particular context.
As a Baptist, one of the things that our church believes in is the authority of the scriptures, that they are central, that they are authoritative in the sense that they answer our questions on spiritual matters, and they speak with authority. It's interesting to me that in our day, what we're seeing is a shift away from the scriptures and the centrality of the scriptures, and we're finding more allegiance being paid to church growth experts and those who, for for some reason, are held as experts in teaching how to do church. So we have moved away from scriptural tenets into a more pragmatic approach to doing church. The Baptist Church has always prided itself on being people of the book, but I'm afraid that even Baptist churches have given in to the whatever works mentality, to the point that I believe there needs to be a corrective, a call back to the scriptures as the center of who we are, to give a clarion call and a clearer definition of what we are to be as the church. So to me, ancient future and the ancient future faith approach is a decidedly scriptural approach, allowing the scriptures to teach us, allowing church history to help us, to teach us who we are as the church. Where the early church comes in is we can see from those who received the scriptures, who received the teaching and the preaching of the apostles, we can see how they interpreted those teachings and how the church operated under these teachings, under the authority of the Word of God. That's infinitely valuable to us today as we sort of struggle and search for our identity, and as we return to the core, the values that made the church so very powerful in those first few centuries.
Carl, as I hear you talking, I'm reminded of my own Baptist heritage. Both of my parents are Southern Baptist. I grew up in the Southern Baptist Church, very proud of that, and served for, gosh, more than half of my ministerial life in a Southern Baptist church. And if there's one thing that Baptists care about, and you correct me if I'm wrong, and that is the centrality of the scripture. And for me, one of the most important things that Ancient Future Faith says is, you know what, we're going to go back to the scripture and to examine scripture carefully. That's our starting place. And then we're going to take a close look to see how the Holy Spirit moved in the lives of men and women, particularly in the early church, in interpreting those scriptures. Would you agree with that?
I would agree with that. There's an old Latin term, ad fontes, and it simply means that the water is purest near its source. So it only makes sense if we would like to find the pure distillation of the truth, particularly as it pertains to being the body of Christ, then we need to go back to the source and the fountainhead. The beginning is, of course, at Pentecost, and then we see out of that first century church the books of the New Testament emerge, and we see how the New Covenant church emerged out of this this new movement of the Spirit. And it's not like we don't have writings and historical evidence of what that looked like. We do. And we can look back at people like Justin Martyr and Tertullian, and we can see in the first few centuries exactly what the church was up to and what that looked like, how they understood the teaching of the Word of God concerning the church. It's very valuable to us. It's a corrective to us to see how we have gone afield, far afield, in the way we are approaching the church. And Chris, I know we'll get into this, but one of the main areas that we can talk about in terms of being the authentic church is in our spirituality. What does it mean to be a Christian? In our day and age, I think there are many folks who have watered down being a Christian into saying a prayer, and if you just say the right words, why, you're a Christian. And there's sort of a disconnect with complete surrender of one's life, going through a process of maturation, moving from justification towards sanctification. Those are the terms that my particular denomination is most comfortable with. But we have almost taken away the sense of, I'm going to mature and grow into the believer that I need to be. So I think spirituality is just one of the main areas where the ancient future approach is just wonderfully valuable to us in this day and age.
Well, Baptists care about discipleship, yes? So that's one place I think that Baptists can really appreciate the emphasis on Christ-likeness and growing in Christ-likeness that the ancient future faith approach focuses on.
Yeah, I think so. And in the past, we have had things like discipleship training on Sunday nights, and BYPU, for anyone who's been around a little longer, discipleship training in the last 20 or 30 years. But for some reason, churches have stopped having those kinds of Sunday night events where discipleship was the main focus.
Right.
And I think we have almost taken for granted that being a part of a Sunday school class will accomplish discipleship. Robert Weber, of course, being the main proponent of the ancient future concept and the teacher of it, in his book entitled Journey to Jesus, he lays out a four-step discipleship process that he gleaned from the early church. Mm-hmm. There we go again, back to the source. Here's how early believers were brought to maturity within the body of Christ. It didn't just happen at the time they committed their lives to Christ and were baptized. There are four particular stages that he identified and then updated and introduced to us in this day. And I think it's worth considering helping our people, not just taking for granted that they're going to grow in the Lord, but giving them, equipping them with the tools like the Baptist Church kind of used to do in discipleship training. That was the intention of that.
Sure.
That has somewhat fallen by the wayside. Now we introduce these tools again, whereby we can see people growing in their faith and moving toward maturity and full employment in the body of Christ, utilizing their gifts to edify and to build up the body and to use those gifts also to reach out to those in the world who need to hear the gospel.
You're listening to an interview with Dr. Carl Peters. He's the pastor at Anchor Baptist Church in Lexington, Kentucky, and today we're talking about ancient future faith. Carl, we were talking about Scripture early on, and it occurred to me that one of the things that Baptists have in common with the early church and the church fathers was a deep love and devotion for Scripture. One thing that I think that evangelicals may forget, and that is that we would not even have the canon of Scripture, we would not have the Bible as we know it, if it were not for those precious saints in the first 200 or 300 or 400 years of the church. Principally, we know them as the church fathers, who hammered out, in a world that's very much like our own today, what it means to be a Christian. How do we interpret these precious sacred texts that have come to us from Jesus through the apostles? What is it that is going to be allowed, as it were, in the canon of Scripture? And all at the same time trying to put out fires, as it were, of heresy that were springing up in the early church. Don't you think there are some things that Baptists can really find to love about the church fathers and their deep devotion to Scripture?
I think so. I think there are many similarities. The love for the Word of God, the strong desire to have the Word of God without additions to it, without adding to it, having worship that celebrates the Word of God, with the Word being front and center. The one area, Chris, that I would say where we may be lacking a little is in our observance of the Lord's table. And we talked last time that we shared about the covenantal nature of our worship. And I think I shared with your audience how the covenant runs all the way through the Word of God. And what we find in the early church then is the two components of covenant, so clearly presented in Scripture, word and sign, being repeated then when the body of Christ came together to worship. They heard the Word of God, and they came to the table to remember, but to renew their covenant through both word and sign. The word reminding them of what God's expectations are, and then the sign of the covenant, which ratifies or re-ratifies the covenant. This definition of worship has somewhat been lost in a society that is presentational and entertainment-oriented, and we have somewhat moved away from the scriptural idea of deepening our commitments and our covenant with the Lord, renewing that covenant with Him, that being the one of the main purposes for worship. So I think we can go back and learn these things afresh and anew as we study how the early church interpreted, particularly the Didache, which presents worship in this way. There's a beautiful passage in there. Justin Martyr also has a wonderful passage from the middle of the second century that almost mirrors the Didache, this teaching of the 12 apostles from the first century. And we can see what worship was like in the first two centuries. Preaching was very important. The memoirs of the apostles were read, but then coming to the table. That's where I think we could benefit from a fresh look at what the early church did with the Scriptures and then with their communal meal.
Carl, you said something earlier about how the scriptures, of course, first and foremost, are going to be our foundation. They are our primary source, as it were. You said that as Christians, we also want to look at how the Holy Spirit has moved in the lives of the saints before us to interpret those scriptures. Now, we get to an area there that many Protestants are a little nervous about, and perhaps Baptists in particular, when we start looking at sources that are other than the Bible. I heard someone say not too long ago, "All I really need is me and the Bible and the Holy Spirit." And I may have shared this with you, and I told that person that that may sound really good on the surface, but the problem with that thinking is that's how you end up with heresy. That's how you end up with David Koresh, for example, in the Branch Davidians, just me and my own interpretation. And the fact is, there are few Christians who don't also use some sort of commentary or study Bible or Sunday school literature or some other kind of extra-biblical material to help them interpret and understand what's in the scripture. What the ancient future approach says is this: we ought to at least pay some attention to how the early church, and particularly the fathers, we ought to pay some attention to how the Holy Spirit moved in their lives to interpret scripture. Do you think Baptists can be comfortable with reading and listening to the church fathers when it comes to interpreting scripture?
Yes, I believe that the word there that we must stress is commentary. The early fathers wrote beautiful commentaries on the scripture. And as long as we don't view these early writings of the first three or four centuries as authoritative, we reserve that solely for scripture. As long as we don't see them as authoritative, but shedding light as commentaries would, any that you might pick up today, commentary by John MacArthur, or you might run to the Lifeway bookstore. They have several sets of commentaries there, as you were mentioning. But what's valuable about the early church fathers is that they were, many of them, sitting at the feet of the apostles. So it's very enlightening and interesting to read their commentaries on the teachings of the apostles and the writings of the New Testament.
Absolutely. I agree with what you've said. We need to also remember that it was those precious saints who sometimes paid with their very lives who brought us scripture to begin with. And so we at least owe them some time to listen to what they had to say about scripture. Carl, you were talking a few minutes ago about spirituality, and one other place that I think may have some good commonality between an ancient future approach and Baptists' love for growth and Christ-likeness is spiritual disciplines. Sometimes when you start talking about spiritual disciplines, people aren't really perhaps familiar with that term. They maybe hear the word discipline and think, you know, what am I being punished for? But this notion of sanctification, growing in Christ-likeness that you mentioned earlier, is one that goes all the way back to the very early church. Are there some things that Baptists can learn about growing in Christ-likeness through the tools of spiritual disciplines of the early church?
I think so. Baptists have always been very big on prayer, and there are times, Chris, when we have special emphases, week-long emphases, prayer weeks for missions, and so forth. It seems to me that there are some areas of commonality when it comes to following the Christian year. Certain times of the year focus on missions. I think of Epiphany, when we are celebrating Jesus' life and ministry from his baptism through his moving toward Jerusalem and his passion. As you spend those days contemplating Jesus' life, it just lends itself to focusing on missions. I think about Lent, something that evangelicals are not used to celebrating, perhaps many of us, Southern Baptists in particular. I think as you introduce that to a Baptist church, there are times when, as Baptists, we call them to special times of Bible study or special times of prayer. And I think that can be done as well. Fasting is something that has rarely been done, at least in my experience in the Baptist Church. It's interesting that Jesus assumed, he says, when you fast, he assumes that we will fast. And I don't think that's done very often. these kinds of things perhaps would help us to spend our time focusing on the Lord, and I think it's worth thinking about.
Perhaps the go-to book for evangelicals about the spiritual disciplines is the great treatise on the subject by Richard Foster called Celebration of Discipline, and that's one that I always recommend to evangelicals if they want to just start to get their toes a little wet in the water thinking about these special tools that go all the way back to the early church for growing in Christ's likeness. Carl, you're serving in a Baptist church in Lexington, Kentucky. Tell us a little bit about your church, and then if you would, give us two or three just things off the top of your head that you feel like Ancient Future Faith has done to enrich and enliven the body of Christ there in Lexington that you are a pastor of.
Anchor Baptist Church is a traditional Baptist church, and that has to do more with worship style than just about anything else. We have a single worship service on Sunday mornings, and it is decidedly traditional in its worship. But Ancient Future has impacted that traditional worship in that we have adopted the fourfold pattern that is a scriptural fourfold pattern of gathering, hearing the word or the ministry of the word of God. That's the first component of the covenant. And then a response to the word, which for us, a quarterly moving toward monthly communion would be the sign of the covenant. The Baptist Church, we tend to have a response, asking people to come and deepen their commitments. And then we have a sending forth, including a benediction at the end, where we send people out to live the covenant. This fourfold pattern can be found throughout the Scriptures at the institution of every covenant in the Bible. Those are just a few examples of how the ancient future concept has been integrated into our experience as believers at Anchor Baptist Church.
Well, and for me, the beautiful thing, again, about these things is we're learning about them, we're incorporating them, not because they're some sort of newfangled philosophy. Ancient Future is not a worship style. Ancient Future is not some sort of wacky cult. Ancient Future is a way of thinking about and learning from the early church in a way that deepens our understanding of Scripture and our experience of God in worship and in our spirituality. So it sounds like that you are able to incorporate some of these kinds of things in a Baptist context really successfully. I'd love to pick your brains about this some more at some point. Would you be willing to come on again and talk about how scripturally based Ancient Future concepts are being worked out in a particular denominational context?
I'd love to do that, Chris, and it's always a joy and a privilege to chat with you.
Folks, you've been listening to an interview with Dr. Carl Peters. He's the pastor of Anchor Baptist Church in Lexington, Kentucky. Carl, thanks so much again for joining us on Ancient Future Faith. I'm awfully grateful.
Thank you, Chris. I look forward to the next time we can talk.
So until we gather again for another episode of Ancient Future Faith, I want you to remember that the road to our evangelical future surely does run through our ancient Christian past.
Thank you for joining us for another look at Ancient Future Faith. There is a refreshing wind of renewal blowing through the evangelical church as more and more worshipers turn for inspiration to the rich language and pattern of the ancient church. And they're rediscovering classic Christianity and learning to draw strength from a deep well of time-tested truth and tradition. Want to experience Ancient Future Faith for yourself? Join us for worship at Epiclesis in Sacramento on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. in the chapel at 4600 Winding Way. You can contact us by calling 916-572-9113 or online at epiclesis.org. That's 916-572-9113 or on the web at epiclesis.org.
Hi folks, it's Pastor Chris with one more word before we sign off. The long season after Pentecost is the perfect time to experience worship at Epiclesis or maybe jump into a small group. There's always something happening at Epiclesis, and we'd love to have you be a part of it. Think about joining us for worship this summer. You'll be warmly welcome. As always, find more information on the web at epiclesis.org. That's epiclesis.org. The Lord be with you, and see you next Saturday at 1 p.m. for another edition of Ancient Future Faith.